Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Magalu conference call to discuss the second quarter results. Should you need simultaneous interpreting, click on the interpretation button on the globe icon on the bottom part of your screen and choose the language of your choice, English or Portuguese. This event is being recorded and will be available later at the company's IR website at ri.magazineluiza.com.br, where you'll also find the company's release and the presentation both in Portuguese and in English. The English presentation link is available in our chat. During the presentation, all participants will have their microphones muted. After that, we'll hold a Q&A session. And to ask questions, click on the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Write your name, the name of your company, and the language of the question. When called upon, a request to enable your microphone will come up, and you should then unmute it to ask your question. Questions received in writing will be answered later by the IR team. Now I would like to turn the floor to Fred Trajano, Magalu CEO. Please, Fred, the floor is yours.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being here in our earnings call for the second quarter of 2022. Here with me, all members of Magalu's executive board, and they will be available to take questions from analysts at the end of the presentation held by me and Roberto Bellissimo. I would like to start on a slide in the presentation, and the presentation has been already uploaded. I'll start talking about the second quarter. It is a quarter that includes the first, the normalization trend of the online market growth curve after the second quarter of 2020, when we had the first full COVID quarter. It looks like in Brazil and in the world, we are seeing a normalization process in the growth curve. I want to stress that this normalization is not a growth curve inflection for online sales. It is an adjustment. We had quarters with boosted growth because people were at home buying online, buying goods for their homes. Nevertheless, future trends remain as we have forecasted, directed to growth, to a greater e-commerce penetration in Brazil and in the world, that are companies in the world with stable online sales, some of them of ads online, have for the first time seen flat or slightly lower sales. But that is only because we had 2 years in terms of comparison base with abnormal growth and with a comparison base of a boosted growth. I would like to stress that this is not an inflection, but rather a normalization. Retail's future is not analog. Advertising future is not analog. The future is digital, both for retail and online. When we look ahead, it is important to have in mind what we are seeing in 2022. That's a picture, not a video. That's why when explaining our growth in this quarter, it is very important to see the whole video of the past 3 years. Magalu has grown 34% a year since the beginning of the pandemic up to now. Before the pandemic, the second quarter of 2019, Magalu's GMV was of 5.7 billion, and in this quarter, we maintained a GMV of 14 billion, slightly higher than the second quarter of last year, a CAGR of 34% in these 3 years. Sales more than doubled, 34% of annual growth, reaching 72% in online sales share. Online sales, even considering our base and our growth normalization, was up in the quarter 2%. During the pandemic, we increased our online market share in 11 points according to NeoTrust data, and our growth CAGR was 61%. Magalu has sold in the quarter 4 times more than what we sold in the same quarter of 2019, proving we were able to keep up high sales level even under the current scenario of normalization. And the main highlight in the next slide was our marketplace. It was up 6 times when compared to the pre-COVID quarter. Even in this quarter, compared to a very high growth base, because we grew 214% in 2020, we grew 63% in 2021, and we were able to grow 22% on top of that very high base, maintaining an annual average growth of 84%. Thus, the marketplace reached the revenue level of our physical stores, proving the consistency of our planning and our strategy. In 2018, we announced that we had digitized Magalu, and we went from a traditional retail company with a digital department to a digital company with physical stores and warmth. And from 2018 on, we should become a digital platform with physical stores and warmth. And that is the strategy that we are rolling out. And data speaks by themselves. A CAGR of 84%, GMV 6 times higher than before the pandemic, and quarterly growth vis-a-vis last year, an already high base of 22%. Next slide, please. It is important to mention that in the strategy announced in 2018, we would diversify categories. I'm sure that in the pandemic, just as we saw happening in the e-commerce, we also had a boosted growth base for durable goods. But Magalu made very good use of the growth base. We had significant growth. Before the pandemic, we were the third largest retailer in durable goods in Brazil. We are leaving the pandemic as leaders in this category. And despite of having seen a drop in the category, just like the market in this quarter, vis-a-vis the same quarter of 2021, we gained market share. And we have a sound position much higher than what we saw in the pre-pandemic period. But here on this slide, I would like to highlight the growth of new categories. Obviously, in the pandemic, we were one of the best companies with great deals in durable goods. But in addition to selling durable goods very well, we increased a lot the online sales for new categories. We grew at a percentage level at least 2 times higher than durable goods sales, significant increase. And in this quarter, once again, we saw strong growth on top of that base. So our online GMV in the next slide already includes 52% of new categories. That is, most of what we sell online today, 1P combined to 3P, includes new categories. And that's thanks to all investments we have made in the companies acquired, Netshoes, Atene, Época Cosméticos, Estante Virtual, and Kabum. And also, all investments and consistency in growth planning for our marketplace. It obviously has a great penetration and share of these new categories. So we are walking the talk and doing a great job in decentralizing categories. Again, we are leaders in durable goods. We like the category. We are going through a counter cycle, but the counter cycle always goes away. This is a sinusoidal curve and we'll go back to growing in the future. But we are also working diligently, and this is proven by our numbers quarter after quarter, and 52% in GMV for new categories is a milestone for our company. 2/3 of our revenue come from our online GMV. Next slide. One of the main driving forces of this diversification is our marketplace. We have reached a milestone of 200,000 sellers by the end of June. A significant highlight to this growth driving force is the strategy launched during the pandemic, Parceiro Magalu. We believe that the future growth of the Brazilian retail is in the omni-channel retailer and hyper-local retailer to reach China's penetration level of 30 to 35% in the online. We will have to help the offline Brazilian retailers to turn to the online world. There are 6 million of Brazilian companies, only 3,000 of them sell online, and Magazine Luiza has developed a tech stack, which is Parceiro Magalu, to help these retailers to sell online. And we have the support of our multi-channel, a footprint in almost 1,000 cities, the support from our field teams and also Magazine Luiza's physical stores to help make it happen. Just to give you an idea, half of these sellers came from our ramping efforts from physical stores. Out of 200,000 sellers, 100,000 came from our physical stores team's efforts, and that's helping a lot in the conversions. Also helping in the next slide is Caravana Magalu. We have visited some Brazilian towns, Sorocaba, Piracicaba, Limeira, São José dos Campos, and the last two with a full caravan, Maceió and João Pessoa. In all the places the caravan goes to, we increase in more than 6 times the number of integrated sellers to the platform. We also increase and provide visibility to our ecosystem. We explain all service options for sellers like financial services, ads, and the caravan has been a huge success and it is helping us to attract Brazilian analog retailers. An important factor in this process is that with the caravan, the multi-channel and the special approach of making a marketplace also relevant for retailers and both analog and multi-channel, we are achieving two important things for the company. First, as I said, the diversification of our categories. Now, out of the sellers who enter via Parceiro Magalu, 11% of them are fashion sellers, multi-brand companies, 10% home and garden, 9% grocery, 7% sports, 7% home appliances, allowing very important diversification in our category. And that is available now for our clients in our digital platforms, proving that there is an upward trend to grow in these new categories. But I also would like to highlight the importance of the hyperlocation. We have been able to reduce the GMV sellers concentration in the Southeast. We increased in 7 percentage points the participation of sellers in the Northeast, 3 percentage points in the Midwest, 1 point in the North region, and we haven't held a caravan there yet. And the caravan focus has been in the Southeast so far, and we will also hold a caravan in the South, increasing it in 1.2 percentage points. We are decentralizing, and what is important, it is, like we say, that for low tickets, hyperlocation is crucial because lower tickets in economic units, which makes sense in the long term. And in other ways, it also helps the company in the carbon footprint because nowadays, the fact that all products are shipped from São Paulo to the whole country, in addition to being poor in terms of economic units, it is not the best environmental option, so we have to avoid goods traveling so much to provide options to local sellers and consumers, and also diversification, as I mentioned. And I want to stress in the next slide now, the store's role as a local support point for the ecosystem. I already mentioned the ranking issues that brought half of the sellers to our base today, but I would like to point out that the stores are more than a place to bring in sellers. They help sellers to connect into the ecosystem, and especially in terms of logistics, they provide a great differential for us. About 500 stores today work as Magalu outposts. There are smaller sellers that start posting goods in the store instead of using the local post offices. Therefore, they save 50% of freight costs. They have a much better service level. We already have almost 20,000 sellers using the stores as Agência Magalu. And we also have a growing and interesting share of clients who buy from sellers and pick the products at the stores. And that represents a much lower delivery cost, 17% of what we sell in 3Ps picked up at the store. I also would like to highlight the amazing work of our logistics, specifically after the acquisitions of logistics companies GFL, LogB, Singlog, and Sogi. Today, 80% of 3P orders go through Magalu Entregas. We went from 19% of deliveries in 48 hours and reach 40% of our deliveries in 48 hours. That represents growth of 21 percentage points. And the trend is to move forward and to increase conversion rates, 3P service level, and obviously to maintain our growth pace ahead. So in fact, a very nice job from logistics, which since last year is working to cater to sellers and bring the level of service to the same level as our 1P. Today, we have 83% of orders delivered within 2 days, an unbeatable level that we want to translate to sellers. Part of our efforts involves boosting our assets in the next slide now. And for that to happen, last month, we launched our fulfillment, and that is a fully integrated fulfillment. It is important to stress that this is a special value proposition, different from the markets, because our seller stores his goods in the same distribution center as Magalu stores its own products. This has a zero marginal cost for the company because we already have the area available, and now with the stock reduction, we even have more room available in the entire distribution center to store products from our sellers. And we have a single person for picking and shipment and the same network for delivery. So the marginal cost is very low. The cost that we can offer sellers is very competitive. And Magalu has become, even with all the take rate increases, with the reduction in free shipping policies, the best option for sellers in terms of economics. And with fulfillment in this multi-channel model, more than ever, we already had 100 sellers in less than 1 month that joined the platform. And we have interesting numbers that we can share later in the Q&A. We are very excited about this proposal as well. Of course, our vision is still hyper-local and multi-channel. We think that the best option is to use the cross-docking network that we have, but we are complementing it mainly for larger sellers, the largest ones, which have opportunities to grow within Magazine. And we are also allowing them that possibility to have that positive levels of delivery. This way, we'll have faster deliveries at lower costs. I would like to highlight also, and this involves reaching more than 50% of GMV online in new categories, the excellent performance of the companies we acquired. Magazine Luiza has invested before and after the pandemic. The first of them was Netshoes in 2019. And we have made very significant progress in these categories that are important for a Brazilian online channel. And I want to highlight those numbers because it shows how the company is disciplined in the use of resources and how investments are in line with the company's strategy. Netshoes GMV in the quarter was over 1 billion reals. It posted profit and cash generation and increased 2.5 percentage points in the category. A very nice job. And remember, Parceiro Magalu sellers, upon entering the platform, do not only sell via Magalu channel, but also via Netshoes channel. And we have a number of advantages for specialized sellers. And same thing goes for fashion. We had 30% or 37% growth in the category in the quarter, just including Zattini, Magalu channel. And just in the Magalu channel in fashion, we were up 88%. We have more than 30,000 sellers in fashion category. Our annualized fashion GMV is already around 1.6 billion, and we are one of the main fashion players in Brazil, even considering those that are in the market for a long time, and we gained 2.8 percentage points in this category. Also highlight Época Cosméticos, and this was a slightly older acquisition. It is a top of mind in online cosmetics and toiletries, probably ranking first in GMV. It is a company that is generating profits and cash flow, as well as Netshoes, also in a very positive track. Remember, all Época products, obviously the ones that the brands authorize, are sold in Magalu channel as well, but its own channel has grown, also including smaller toiletry sellers that joined Parceiro Magalu. In addition to selling in Magalu, they will also be able to sell in Época as well. And we have been working to make a unified onboarding so that the seller in a single control panel can sell not only in Magalu, but in all sales channels, making their deliveries, their lives a lot easier, and of course, using all the platforms. And I would like to highlight once again, KaBuM!. It posted operating cash generation of 150 in the quarter. It posted profit and cash generation once again, in spite of its difficult comps last year, and it has added a lot to the company, a totally new category for us growing, and it has enormous future potential. With more visibility now, Aiqfome, with an annualized GMV of 1.4 billion, Aiqfome already makes more than 3 million deliveries per month, is already the second largest delivery application in Brazil, and it's reaching almost 1,000 cities in Brazil with continued expansion. It is very important to emphasize and appreciate the fact that the investments Magalu made are paying off, are being positive and contributing to our strategy of diversifying sources of revenue, results, and cash generation as well. Another important acquisition that we made was in Locamedia. We have made some interesting developments here, and the most important of which, and everyone knows that ads in retail is very important, especially in internal searches. Advertisers have better results when they can advertise and sponsor the product for customers who are searching within Magalu's own channel. We launched the sponsored links in Magalu's search engine, and that is in the video that we have in the presentation. We also created a self-service panel so that the seller or the advertiser can easily promote the products, establish campaigns, create campaigns within our seller portal. Revenue in the second quarter doubled vis-à-vis the same period of last year, and we believe that ads will be an important source of monetization for Magalu in the future. Speaking on monetization, a great source of monetization is Lu, our digital influencer, who was in Times Square this week and won Cannes Lions in June. She is top virtual influencer in the world today with over 32 million fans. Its representativeness has grown, and it also has been hired by brands, et cetera, proving all our efforts to digitize Magalu. Finally, before turning to Beto, I would like to point out that this week we won. We actually had already ranked as the best company to work for in Brazil in the GPTW ranking in Latin America just came out. We are also the best company to work for in Latin America. Even in a tough year of great efforts, adjustments, and a number of challenges being faced, the company continues maintaining focus and strategic execution. It is taking care of its people, its customers. We maintain our A1000 across all brands in the group. Our NPS is high, and we intend to make it grow when we look ahead, keeping our team super happy, motivated, very engaged to take our next steps. Now I turn the floor to Beto for financial details.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for participating in our conference call. I start with the main financial highlights. As Fred mentioned, we grew 22% in the marketplace, 2% in the e-commerce, gaining market share, and total sales grew 1% with sales maintenance and stability in physical stores gaining market share as well. Total sales close to 14 billion reais in the quarter. Gross margin of 28.6%, an important evolution in the gross margin compared to last year, and we'll talk more about that. EBITDA of almost 500 million with 5.7% adjusted EBITDA margin and a negative net result close to 1% of negative margin. On the next slide, more on the performance of our quarterly EBITDA. I should stress that this is the best EBITDA margin since 2020 with a significant performance when compared to the last quarters, mainly in relation to the end of last year, but also vis-à-vis the first quarter of this year. We had a goal this semester, which was to increase our profitability without losing market share, and we managed to do that. Also increase our efficiency, reduce our operating expenses without losing service level. We also achieved that. In terms of gross margin, we were up 3 percentage points, increased the product margin, transferred costs, inflation. We sold more with interest and less without interest, but mainly we increased our revenues services revenue related to the marketplace and Magalu Pagamentos, which were up 22%. Our service revenue increased even more, 25%, driven by the marketplace. And we significantly reduced our expenses, contracts, marketing, logistics, and fixed expenses. It is worth remembering that this quarter we had practically no non-recurring expenses, what we had in previous quarters. In fact, this quarter, we already have a well-adjusted operation. Now, turning to the next slide, another significant highlight in the quarter, our cash generation. Operating cash generation of 1.3 billion reais. We increased our total cash position from 8.5 billion to 9 billion, 500 million more in net cash, and our cash position went from 1.6 billion to 2.1 billion in terms of net cash position, maintaining a very robust capital structure and the best cash position for the middle of the year, for the second quarter of the year. This cash generation, and the next slide now, was greatly driven by the performance of our working capital, which was another highlight. We reduced a little more the level of inventories and increased the suppliers' balance. Our working capital improved in around 1 billion in this quarter. We did not change the average term for purchases, but since in the first quarter we had purchased less because we were reducing our inventories in 1 billion, in the second quarter, purchase levels went back to normal. We purchased around 1 billion more, so the suppliers' balance increased in almost 1 billion, and we reached a working capital position in the middle of the year that is basically balanced. It is neutral, but when compared to last year, we realized that there is still room because of seasonality to improve our working capital. December's position was almost 2 billion, so there is still room to improve working capital in the second half of the year. Today, we already have lower inventory levels than we had in June of last year, not considering KaBuM!, which was integrated at the end of last year. We have a better working capital than last year's, and we still have the potential to continue improving. To the right, we see our financial expenses performance. That is always closely related to interest rates curve. In Brazil, CDI went from 3% to 12% in the period. To minimize the CDI effect, we are taking a number of actions, reducing the average term of for credit cards, increasing cash sales share, reducing share of sales with credit cards. We are pushing Pix. Pix is already growing a lot in Magalu and also KaBuM!. It is a reference in KaBuM!. Pix reaches 40% of sales there. We are working hard to reduce the main financial expense that we have, which comes from the cost of prepayment of receivables. On the next slide, we have Luizacred. In the last 12 months, we grew the base by more than 1 million cards. We greatly accelerated the growth of the card base there. Luizacred's total revenue in this quarter reached 13.6 billion, also up 42%. We reached a credit portfolio of 20 billion, one of the largest credit card operations in the market, I'm sure. On the next slide, we have the quality and a very low delinquency rate, 7.7% of the portfolio overdue for more than 90 days, and the portfolio overdue under 90 days was even lower in this quarter. It improved. The overdue portfolio over 90 days remains at a level far below the historical level and well below the pre-pandemic, proving the quality of the portfolio and the conservative approach in our approval rates for Luizacred, including data from Itaú and Magalu score also in the credit approval. In terms of results, Luizacred has had a performance almost at breakeven and driven by accelerated growth of the last quarters. new customers always bring in a little bit more provision, and in IFRS, we anticipate an extra provision as well. It's part of our growth. So the old customer card base continues to be very profitable and is growing as well. On the next slide, we talk a bit about our fintech initiatives. We reached 5.7 million digital accounts. We went from 5 to 5.7 million in this quarter, and now they are fully integrated with our proprietary technology acquired from Hub Fintech, which provides a better shopping experience in our app. Fully integrated digital accounts and now also integrated into iQFome mini app. We are expanding Magalu Pay to all companies in the ecosystem so that it can be the digital account of our companies in our ecosystem. And we have also made important changes in the Magalu card experience in the super app. It is now entirely faster, more fluid, more intuitive, and also focused in the pre-approved customers. It has generated great results in the sale of Magalu cards on the super app. And in this quarter, we also launched the personal loan and digital account contracted within the super app. All of this on the consumer side. On the next slide, on the seller side, we have also grown significantly. We reached a TPV of 8 billion. We are promoting all our financial services, digital account, legal entity, our POS, our corporate credit card, and all the events with the caravan that is visiting Brazil, and always with a profit. Magalu Pagamentos continues to be profitable with more than 40 million profit in the semester, and also with potential to grow with important adjustments in the prepayment of receivables. And that's something that we have just worked on recently, passing on some of the increase of the CDI. And finally, on the last slide, total cash flow for the quarter. Again, 1.3 billion in operating cash flow, investments of 200 million, leasing, interests, we paid debts, we paid interest on equity, and we ended with total cash position of 9 billion. Well, thank you very much. We end the presentation here, and we can now start our Q&A session. We will now start the Q&A session. To ask questions, click on the Q&A icon at the bottom of your screen. Write your name, the name of your company, and the language of your question to join the queue. When called upon, a request to enable your microphone will come up, and you should then unmute it to ask your question. Our first question comes from Felipe Guanais or Luis Guanais from BTG. Luis, please go ahead. Thank you, Vanessa. Good morning, Fred and Beto. Fred, I want to go over what you said about the evolution of services for sellers for Passeio Magalu. Can you comment what we can expect over time? And a second question about Parceiro Magalu. How can we think about the economics for Parceiro Magalu platform? I understand that there is an incentive for sellers to plug in them, but on the other hand, that there are added services and new categories coming in. Considering all these moving parts, how should we think about the economics involved? Thanks. Good morning, Luis, and thank you for your question. Well, Magalu's focus this year is to grow GMV first. We had few sellers and low sales in 3P. So I think our focus, and it has to be, and it will continue to be like that, is an increasing GMV and seller base. We managed to hit 200,000 sellers. GMV has increased significantly this year. And in the 3 years of the pandemic, and we launched many products this quarter. and we intend to explore these products in order to increase the monetization from these sellers and GMV. So first the GMV and then monetization. So what are we doing? The caravan, and we are using the caravan for two markets. The first market is the Blue Ocean market, which is where I have a store, places such as João Pessoa and Maceió, 35,000 sellers there, and only 500 of them sell online. So what is the goal of this market? To attract sellers to the platform. And these sellers are not in any other platform, by the way. They are analog sellers who have never sold online. And we are doing an outreach work helping this guy to get online. First, they have to register in the platform and start selling. Then we start selling value-added services. For the second semester, Luiz, are already adding to the caravan roadmap markets that are already more mature. So we'll combine markets such as markets in the Northeast, as I mentioned, with markets in which we already have a large base of sellers. And for this caravan, we are focusing in selling the added services. I'm not going to mention the names of the cities yet, but some of the cities have significant number of sellers which already sell in our ecosystem and have a good GMV in the ecosystem. So we want to sell the ecosystem as a whole to have them selling in all the group's channels, and in a way that the experience is easier thanks to the unified onboard that we are developing in the second half of the year. So they will be able to sell ads, to take out loans, prepayment of receivables, that has the highest growth in the short term. And we were able to monetize well, also because of the take rate increase. So now in the second cycle of the caravan, we'll increase this penetration. About the marketplace economics, I can say that we substantially improved it when compared to last year. The marketplace economics is already marginally positive. And considering the fixed cost of the marketplace is practically zero, it has a marginal contribution to the company. And you can see that in the company's consolidated gross margin increase. So we had to take rate increases for all audiences, including Parceiro Magalu itself, a reduction in the freight subsidy. But that did not stop us from growing above the market and post significant growth. And even so, Luiz, we have a level of total cost per seller much lower than the markets. So I think we still have a great opportunity to grow in terms of monetization. But my main objective is still to increase sales and also increase the conversion rate of products, increase liquidity to have more sellers selling more products. Diversification, monetization will come over time and with this new caravan strategy that we have ahead of us. Leandro, would you like to add anything? Yes, there is something that I would like to comment, and I think it's important. About Parceiro Magalu program, we have a large base of sellers that were totally analog, and they started to sell digitally. And we use the program Parceiro Magalu to distribute in the ecosystem. So, for instance, we have recently allowed partners to sell Magazine Luiza products in our platform, even via Marketplace. So it is like an advertising partner for the legal entity that has a point of sale. So we are able to work with this type of service. In addition, the partner will then work as a contract or for the other services. They are able to directly contract a loan and other services that we have, not only the financial ones, but also the logistics that we offer our partners. Well, and to conclude, Luiz, let me stress that we have an incentive for the partners up to the first 100,000 of monthly sales. From then on, they got regular rates. Again, a very significant progress in the marketplace margin contribution, and which we can already see in the company's consolidated balance sheet. Perfect, Fred. Thanks. Thank you to Leandro. Our next question comes from Maria Clara from Itaú BBA. Maria Clara, please. Thank you, Vanessa. Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Beto. Our question from Itaú is related to the inventory levels, which we notice that are still at somewhat high levels. Could we say that the short-term cash generation should benefit from higher inventory turnover? Thank you. Thank you for your question. I will turn it to Roberto Bellissimo first, and then Fabrício will answer it. But we do not consider that our inventory levels are high. What we had in the first half of the year was that we reduced the absolute value of inventories. And the focus in the first semester was on increasing margin and reducing expenses. We believe that a sales perspective is better in the second semester. So we always have to look at the inventory levels, thinking about what we will sell in the future, not as a picture of the past in mind. So to consider how much we think we will grow in the second half of the year, we believe that inventory levels are already normalized. But that was only an introduction. Roberto and Fabrício will comment. Adding to his comments, Maria Clara, and thank you again for your question. We have a lower stock ex Kaboom, lower than what we had in June of last year. So since the end of last year and the beginning of this year, we have reduced a lot. We sold a lot of excess inventories. We have reduced in over 1 billion our total inventories. So we have now a very healthy inventory. We have a good balance between inventory and suppliers. And we still have slightly more inventory than suppliers, around 8 billion in inventory and approximately 7.5 billion in suppliers. So historically, we always had an inventory turnover faster than the average purchase period. We have an opportunity, and we are working to regain this profile and have more suppliers than inventories in the mid and the long terms. And the second semester, as Fred mentioned, is a period where inventory turnover is usually better because it is a period of a seasonably higher and more favorable sales. And we already have a very balanced inventory. And considering it is balanced, when you sell more, you buy more. And the supplier balance goes up. Usually, this happens a lot in the third and especially in the fourth quarters. So, considering the working capital, a picture at the end of last year, as well as at the end of every year, we tend to end the year with more suppliers than inventory. And yes, that means an improvement in the working capital when we consider the current starting point and also checking the end of last year of over 2 billion working capital cash generation. So this is an overview of working capital and also improvement opportunities. Fabrício, would you like to add anything?
Good morning. Thank you for your question. Well, Fred said it well. What I consider it to be most important about inventories is that it is at a satisfactory level. We are ready for the end of the year. But it is also a healthy inventory, and our stockout is low. I believe that once sales improve in the second half of the year, our turnover should improve. This is a good sign for us.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, Maria Clara. Our next question comes from Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan. Joseph, please.
Hello, good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for taking my question. I would like to go over the inventory turnover and the expectations for the second half of the year. The emergency relief is coming in, and I would like to understand what you already foresee in terms of trends, both online and offline. What are you seeing in July? What about the margin? We see a significant evolution there on the company side. And can we expect more towards the second half of the year? Are there any restructurings happening? Yeah, do you see more cost coming out? And what do you believe will be the level of margin by the end of the year? Are we going back to historical levels of 7 to 8%? These are my questions. Thank you.
Good morning, Joseph. How are you? Thank you very much for your question. Let me try to answer
your questions without providing any type of guidance. You know that we don't usually do that. Let me try to address the questions then. Well, Joseph, I believe that part of the margin gain from now on has to come from operating leverage. In the first half of the year, we made a number of adjustments. We reduced interest-free sales, also freight charges. We worked on those, increased payment terms here and there, transferred product costs to prices, take rate increase. This is an agenda that when we executed, and we mentioned that in about the first semester, I think the leader's role is to change the course of the river. And when you change the course of the river, you have to be focused. It's hard to make that type of adjustment and look at sales at the same time. I even think that we had a extremely positive result maintaining share and gaining share in some categories. But in fact, the company's focus was on the percentage increase, not on sales growth. Now, looking at the second half of the year from now on, I think that part of the margin improvement, especially when you talk about EBITDA and not gross profit, that needs to come from sales growth. There is no retail margin without sales growth. That can be a short-term agenda. In the short term, it is necessary for a route adjustment to change the river course, as I said, but the important thing for any retailer in Brazil and in the world is to increase sales. We now have a good base, adjusted inventories. The company's capacity is better adjusted. The number of people in the stores, the number of people in the DCs, renegotiated contracts, and of course, expenses. Expenses are like bushes. They always grow and you always have to cut them. And I always see the opportunity to improve in expenses, and we will continue to work to reduce expenses. Several expenses reduction projects were not implemented in the first semesters and will be implemented in the second semester. But this is a lower bush, not that high bush from the first semester, which was a capacity change, involved a process change and systems change. And the company will continue to try and to lower the absolute value of its expenses, bringing it to a lower level. But what is important is that it has to come with operating leverage now. So what do we really have here? And I'm not going to provide any guidance. I promise that we are going to work hard, and we have a great team. We have a good brand inventory. We have credit. We have digital channels with a huge number of hits. So we have everything we need to regain market share. Even if this cake doesn't grow in the second semester, but I think it will, because in the first half of the year, we didn't have the $40 billion in emergency relief, the World Cup, no Black Friday either in the first half of the year, no 5G. So there are several factors that will contribute, will make this cake grow. And even if this cake does not grow, which we do not believe is going to happen because of everything I just mentioned, we have everything it takes to gain market share. Remember, Magalu's market share in physical stores is less than 20% in Brazil. In physical stores, and I'm not talking about online, and even in the online, in several categories, we have less than 30% of market share. And in 1P, in 3P, the opportunity to gain share is huge. And we are launching the fulfillment along with Magalu Caravan and a number of services being launched as well for sellers. Improvement of our logistical deliveries by sellers. So I believe we can follow a path now in the second half of the year with a better adjusted operation to gain share. And then the margin evolution would come with the help of operating leverage. That's what I have. This is not guidance. This is not a promise, but we are working hard at it. And we do believe that retail starts by selling and everything else follows later.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Fred.
Thank you, Joseph. Our next question comes from Felipe Rached from Goldman Sachs. Felipe, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, Vanessa. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for this opportunity. Fred, you talked about fulfillment. It seems to have worked well leveraging the structure, the technology that you already had for 1P.
Can you give us more details on where you have already implemented fulfillment, where it makes sense to implement it and where it doesn't? And if I may ask another question, changing the subject, talking about physical stores now. Considering the current situation, what are your expectations for openings and closings in the short term? Do you think you still have some space to optimize the store's network? Thanks.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your question. I will start answering your question and then I'll turn to Leandro and Fabrício. Well, we have room for fulfillment in all our DCs. We have over 22 distribution centers in the company. With the reduction in inventories, we currently have an idle area in many of these DCs from 30 to 40%. And this idleness may be used for sellers' products. But we need tax authorization from each state to do this. Each state has a different fiscal policy. So far, we have the Louveira DC, and we are also getting authorization for Guarulhos. But the idea is to have that in all the DCs and in the future, all stores, so that all of them can be part of our fulfillment offer for sellers. That's the idea. I'm going to ask Leandro to talk about the sellers that are already used in this process so that you can understand our potential. And then Fabrício will talk about the stores.
Hello, thank you for your question. We launched that. The results are very promising. And we have a short period of this, of almost 1 month. And we already have 100 sellers using the service. Obviously, we are selecting the first sellers. There's a long list, a long line of partners who would like to use our service. Fred mentioned we started with our DC in Louveira, our main DC here in the region, and we already see positive results. The first thing that we noticed is that the deadline is practically 3 days shorter when we compare that to what we promise and what we realize when it's not within our fulfillment. Within the state, we already have more than 95% of our offers in up to 2 days for customers. But more than that, we also increased a lot our one-day deliveries. And when there is a partner involved, it is usually more difficult to deliver in 1 day because that's the time the partner takes to deliver the product to us. So we already deliver directly to the customer and also get this benefit for our customers. We see promising numbers and they should certainly increase in the future. And one more thing that I consider a differential in addition to what Fred said. And we can also work on the fulfillment of heavy products. That's another competitive advantage that we offer our partners.
Hello, thank you for your question. This is Fabrício. About our stores, we are at a slower pace in terms of openings for the second half of the year. We should maintain the slow pace of store openings considering this year's adjustment phase. We have already closed some underperforming stores in the first semester. We shouldn't close any more stores for now in the second half of the year. Maybe one or another, if they're underperforming, then we might close. But we have already done what needed to be done in the first half of the year. That's very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your question, Rashad. Then the next question is from Ruben Couto from Banco Santander. Ruben, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I have two quick questions. I'd like to go back to the discussion about Parceiro Magalu. Fred, you provided interesting information. I just wanted to understand the recurrence of these new sellers. You mentioned the 100,000 reals limit exceeding the normalized. But other than that, how the participation of these sellers has evolved? Have they continuously increased the number of products? Are they selling more? I would like to understand if the benefit that they have seen in the short term in GMV from 3P is coming from the addition of new sellers, or the sellers themselves have been in the base for a longer time and also have grown. And also talking about Parceiro Magalu and 3P diversification in other categories, has this made you rethink the product mix in stores? Can you talk about how this 3P online GMV experience has led to these questions regarding the category of products in the store?
Thank you. Ruben, good morning. Thank you very much for your question. What we see in Parceiro Magalu sellers groups, and we are comparing them with the sellers of when we opened the platform to medium large sellers in 2018 and 19, the cohorts, the Parceiro Magalu groups are performing better than the groups that started the marketplace with us. These are encouraging numbers of low churn and also increasingly positive results. We have a lot of work ahead now, and that's one of the goals of Labs Fatala's team, which is the 3P conversion, and that's for the second semester. I think that we have a huge opportunity now. Imagine that we have 70 million product ads in our platform, the search algorithm, recommendation algorithms, the marketing tech team. So this is a gigantic new database, and we have a huge opportunity to fine-tune these algorithms, search, recommendations, more tech. So the main focus for Labs, for Fatala's team, for the second semester is to increase conversion. This will provide more liquidity to a cohort that's already performing well. And we work for sure to have increasing numbers. I have fantastic stories about different companies that were saved by Magalu in the pandemic. There are great stories. We are telling more of these stories now. And there is one of them for Father's Day. If you want to check Magalu's Instagram, you will be able to see the story of a seller. He brought his son to work with him because it's Father's Day now, right? So there are really cool stories about lives and companies that were transformed and improved by Magalu's platform. This is real. And also, it has a great positive potential looking ahead. We still have a lot to do to improve. We have 64 years of 1P and practically 3 years of 3P. In 3 years, we have already achieved a lot, but this team will do even more so that we can continue growing. And again, I see that the main growth opportunity for Brazilian e-commerce is in the local and multi-channel seller. I am convinced that the new area of growth is coming from this segment, the companies, and we are well prepared technologically, geographically, and also we have the capabilities to be a protagonist player in this digitization process. After all, we are the only company that left the analog behind and turned digital. We have experience and we know the pains the sellers have. Thank you for your question, Ruben. Our next question is from Vinicius Preto from Bank of America. Vinicius, go ahead. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I would like to follow up on Joseph's question about the second half of the year. Can you comment your expectation about the implementation of 5G? Have you already seen any reactions regarding the improvement on the smartphone category in the cities where 5G has already been implemented? And the second question is about Magalu Ads. You gave details about the evolution of Magalu Ads, and I would like to know your position in terms of functionality, evolution, data use, geolocation use, integration with other ecosystem channels. And you mentioned that the revenue doubled year on year. Can you give us a little bit more color on how relevant this revenue is now among all other results? Thank you. This is Fabricio. I will talk about 5G. We have great expectations. 5G is already implemented in 5 cities. Until the end of this month, it should be already in 28 cities. And until the end of the year, all Brazilian capitals. The coverage is not that dream coverage, but the demand is increasing, yes. And we are holding campaigns, 5G campaigns in all the cities where it is being implemented. We see a demand increase of around 30 to 40% for 5G devices. These are average devices above 2,000 reals, which is good. And that checks with the numbers that we got from carriers. There has been a
40 to 50% increase in 5G purchase plans. And the outlook for 5G is very good. We are prepared for that. Vinicius, Eduardo Galantrinic speaking here, and I'll talk about ads. In this first semester, our focus was in expanding the demonstration of these sponsored products in searches and recommendations. These are, in fact, the areas where we have the highest monetization potential. This has been done just as all advertiser experience improvement, the self-service that Fred mentioned, the improvements that we had already made with payment integration. Now, next steps are in line with what you asked. Yes, it is to use customer data in order to geolocate offers, to display them. We know that when we display a product that is close to the customer, the conversion is higher. And by offering this to advertisers, we are sure they will increase conversion and also return on investment. And as a result of this better use, a better matching of products advertised, we should expand it to other channels, to all platforms in the group. So this is more or less the sequence like you mentioned, and that's what we are working on in terms of technology to be able to implement that in the next months and cycles. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you for your question, Vinicius. Our next question comes from Vinicius Estrano from UBS Bank. Vinicius, please. Hello. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. I would like to know if you have seen disparities in terms of sales performance per region. If you have seen positive effects in sales coming from the emergency relief as well. And the second question related to delivery speed. We see a significant increase in deliveries within 48 hours. Can you comment on the main drivers for this improvement and how you expect it to evolve from now on? Thank you. Vinicius, this is Fabrício. Let me talk about the demand in the regions. We see a linear demand. But this week, with the inflow of the emergency relief, we realized that the North and Northeast regions tend to grow a little more than the rest of Brazil. But it's pretty well balanced, and we expect to see the North and Northeast grow more once the relief is out. Good morning. This is Décio from Logistics. I'll address the improvement on the 48-hour delivery. Logistics is continuously working on the logistics and distribution network, and all the progress for 1P is being transferred towards 3P. Basically, when you say that, and let me give an example, for a fulfillment in which the product is in our distribution center, the promised delivery time and the actual delivery time becomes as if it were a 1P delivery. So the 3P turns into a 1P delivery. Therefore, we can say that we'll have greater opportunities to deliver products quickly to end consumers. In addition to the ultra-fast delivery network, so the delivering straight from the seller on the same day or on the next day at the most. So there are several initiatives to improve the network, to optimize the network, to create a new route so that we can cater customers faster and faster. Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you, Vinicius, for your question. Our next question is from Felipe Reboredo, Citibank. Felipe, the floor is yours. Felipe, we'll move on to the next question and then come back and check your connection. Our next question is from Andrew Rubin from Morgan Stanley. Andrew, please go ahead. Hi, thank you. Can you talk more about
IKFAMI, I'm interested in what kind of overlapping you're seeing between IKFAMI users and the rest of Magalu ecosystem, and if you have any comments on profitability for the model also, that would be great. Thank you.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you for your question. Well, IKFAMI, for IKFAMI, we are focusing on a higher number of cities. I mentioned that we reached almost 1,000, and also the implementation of logistics services that we are using with our teams, but also with a great synergy potential with Sode, our ultra-fast delivery. I believe we will have a lot of synergy because IKFAMI's highest demand happens in the counterflow of Sode's demands for hyperlocal deliveries for Parceiro Magalu and Magalu itself. Those are more concentrated at lunchtime, at the end of the day, and over the weekend. And our demand happens over business hours. And I think we have synergy to keep the delivery team busy all day and not just at peak hours. IKFAMI is reaching around 3 million orders, focused in more GMV increase. It is available on Magalu's Super App and on the Mini App in all cities that already offer IKFAMI. Volumes are growing, but there is a lot of opportunity to grow more. Customers can buy the product without downloading IKFAMI app, just downloading Magalu app and buying through IKFAMI mini app. So there is work to be done. And one of our goals is to improve ads so that this process is smooth. Also, use Magalu Pay as a wallet, and that would take away the huge friction of having to type the new card, etc. We are working to make it happen, but as I told Luis in the beginning, we first need to increase sales, GMV deliveries, and then increase overlap and integration. In terms of profitability, I think this might be one of the only food delivery services in the world that positive results. This is a company very well managed by its founders, and they are still with us. And this company is growing in a very rational way, starting in the countryside and then moving to the capitals. And that's how Magalu worked in the past with its physical stores. Started in the countryside, and then it came to the capitals with a very rational profile. Patala, would you like to add anything about the e-commerce technology? That's nice, Fred. And it's interesting to mention that we have already integrated Magalu Pay wallet, as you mentioned. Today it's already working in IKFAMI mini app and in Magalu Super App, turning payments much easier. And we are already working on the VIP Commerce Marketplace integration as a category within IKFAMI as well. So we will have a market category with the entire network, with the existing base within VIP Commerce, available both in IKFAMI's own app and the standalone app, and also reflected in the experience of Magalu Super App.
Thank you very much for your question, Andrew. Now let's turn to our next question with Felipe from Citibank. I think the connection is fine now.
Good morning, everyone. I think now you can hear me. Thank you very much for taking my question. Well, we would like to understand more about working capital. The rearrangement of suppliers is very clear. And we would like to understand how is the relationship with the industry in terms of replenishing suppliers and inventories. How do you see the industry mindset for the second semester in line with the sales recovery mindset? And something else we would like to understand is the economics of Parceiro Magalu. We understand that we need support mainly from the stores that prospect sellers. I would like to know if this is a recurring expense, if this partner goes back to the store, and if that brings any additional costs to the operation. Thank you.
Well, about the industry mindset, I would say that the supply chain is back to normal. This also gearing up to have a second semester better than the first, but with no major changes when compared to what we are seeing. We don't see any supply problems, and all the plans are set for the end of the year. The World Cup is a special event. I would say the industry is well prepared.
there is a demand outlined, and it should start increasing in August, gradually going up, peaking in October and November. And this plan is in line with the forecast, and it shows us that we should have a very good last quarter. So we are fine about the industry's mindset and the product availability, and we do not have any dollar pressure that could cause a price increase like last year. About store sellers, we do not have an increase in operating expenses. We use our staff's idle time. We know that stores have idle time, and they use this idle time to attract sellers. And I'm sure this way we dilute costs, and it is much cheaper for us to attract those sellers via stores than otherwise. And that does not generate any additional cost. Very clear. Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. Our next question comes from Gustavo from XP Investments. Gustavo, please go ahead. Gustavo, are you there? Well, that would be our last question. We will talk to Gustavo later. This concludes our Q&A session. We now end the Q&A session. I would like to turn the floor over to Frederico Trajano for his final remarks. Please, Fred, go ahead. Thank you all very much for participating in our earnings call. If you have any additional questions, please contact our IR. Have a nice Friday and a nice weekend. Magalu conference call has ended. The investor relations team is available to answer further questions and concerns. Thank you very much for your participation and have a nice day.